This is Smart Tech, episode 1604, Apple versus the FBI, balancing personal privacy with national security. So I want you to imagine for a minute that you're a general contractor and you build a house. Somebody hires you to build a house. And this house is very secure, that the person who hired you is very scared of intruders, or at least that's what they've told you, and they value their privacy. So you spend buku bucks and you build them the most secure house in the entire nation. Fort Knox has nothing on this house that you built. Now, you do this, and when you're done, the person pays you for the house, and you hand them the keys. Okay, you're done. As far as you're concerned, you're done. Well, down the line, the government discovers, or at least suspects, nefarious activity is happening behind the walls. But you didn't know that I knew the word nefarious, did you? And so this activity causes the government to go to the courts and ask for a search warrant. And the search warrant is granted. Okay, so they get the warrant to enter the property. But of course, this is the most secure house ever built, and they're having trouble getting in. None of the methods that they have is letting them into the house, and the person in the house isn't letting them in. So they come to you. They find out that you built the house. They come to you, and they say, hey, I need your help to get into this house. And so you have blueprints. You show them the blueprints because, you know, those are things that you have. It's paperwork that you have. And you answer their questions and provide them of copies of everything that they have, that you have, that is pertinent to this house. And then they ask you the obvious question, hey, give us a copy of the key. And you say, I can't give you a copy of the key because I don't have one. I have the plans for the house. I have the permits that we pulled. I can give you my opinion on the best way to get into the house, but I do not have a key. The owner has the key. And they insist you make a key, and you say, I cannot make a key because I don't have a key to make a copy from. You can't do it. You handed everything over you could hand over. So you decide with them, they come to you and say, well, what's the best way to get into the house? And you say, well, I think that there's this weak spot in the wall around the house, and if you use a huge battering ram, then you can probably get through the house. Now, this battering ram that you need to create is bigger than any currently existing. The battering ram does not exist, but you have an idea of how to make the battering ram, and you tell them that. And they think it's a great idea. So what they say is, okay, I'll tell you what, we're going to come back next week. And we expect you to design and build the battering ram to get through the wall. We'll be here to pick it up. You just have it ready. So they expect you to hire all the experts, engineers, carpenters, mechanics, welders, whatever you need, build it, and provide them with the ram. And in fact, when you say to them, you want me to build you a battering ram to get into a house that I don't own, bit crazy. So they go to the court and they pull some obscure law from hundreds of years ago. And they say, yeah, this law applies. You must build the battering ram. This is essentially what the federal government has ordered Apple to do, but to do electronically. And if you wonder what you're listening to, well, this is Smart Tech, and I am your fairly private host, Chuck Minear. So let me back up a little bit. Last week, Apple CEO Tim Cook posted a public letter on their website, which I will include in our show notes. In fact, links to pertinent information and other technology-related goodies are always available at our website, www.smartteck.tv. Here's what Apple's letter said, or Tim Cook's letter said. A message to our customers: the United States government has demanded that Apple take an unprecedented step which threatens the security of our customers. We oppose this order, which has implications far beyond the legal case at hand. This moment calls for public discussion, and we want our customers and people around the country to understand what is at stake. The need for encryption. Smartphones, led by iPhone, have become an essential part of our lives. People use them to store an incredible amount of personal information, from our private conversations to our photos, our music, our notes, our calendars and contacts, our financial information and health data, even where we have been and where we are going. All that information needs to be protected from hackers and criminals who want to access it, steal it, and use it without our knowledge or permission. Customers expect Apple and other technology companies to do everything in our power to protect their personal information, and at Apple, we are deeply committed to safeguarding their data. Compromising the security of our personal information can ultimately put our personal safety at risk. That is why encryption has become so important to all of us. For many years, we have used encryption to protect our customers' personal data because we believe it's the only way to keep their information safe. We've even put that data out of our own reach because we believe the contents of your iPhone are none of our business. The San Bernardino case. We were shocked and outraged by the deadly act of terrorism in San Bernardino last December. We mourn the loss of life and want justice for all those lives who were affected. The FBI asked us for help in the days following the attack, and we have worked hard to support the government's effort to solve this horrible crime. We have no sympathy for terrorists. When the FBI has requested data that's in our possession, we have provided it. Apple complies with valid subpoenas and search warrants, as we have in the San Bernardino case. We've also made Apple engineers available to advise the FBI, and we've offered our best ideas on a number of investigative options at their disposal. We have great respect for the professionals of the FBI, and we believe their intentions are good. Up to this point, we have done everything that is both within our power and within the law to help them. But now the U.S. government has asked us for something we simply do not have, and something we consider too dangerous to create. They have asked us to build a backdoor to the iPhone. Specifically, the FBI wants us to make a new version of the iPhone operating system, circumventing several important security features, and install it on an iPhone recovered during the investigation. In the wrong hands, this software, which does not exist today, would have the potential to unlock any iPhone in someone's physical possession. The FBI may use different words to describe this tool, but make no mistake, building a version of iOS that bypasses security in this way would undeniably create a backdoor. And while the government may argue that its use would be limited to this case, there is no way to guarantee such control. The threat to data security. Some would argue that building a backdoor for just one iPhone is a simple, clean-cut solution, but it ignores both the basics of digital security and the significance of what the government is demanding in this case. In today's digital world, the key to an encrypted system is a piece of information that unlocks the data, and it is only as secure as the protections around it. Once the information is known or a way to bypass the code is revealed, the encryption can be defeated by anyone with that knowledge. The government suggests this tool could only be used once on one phone, but that's simply not true. Once created, the technique could be used over and over again on a number of devices. In the physical world, it would be the equivalent of a master key capable of opening hundreds of millions of locks, from restaurants and banks to stores and homes. No reasonable person should find that acceptable. The government is asking Apple to hack our own users and undermine decades of security advancements that protect our customers, including tens of millions of American citizens, from sophisticated hackers and cyber criminals. The same engineers who built strong encryption into the iPhone to protect our users would, ironically, be ordered to weaken those protections and make our users less safe. We can find no precedent for an American company being forced to expose its customers to a greater risk of attack. For years, cryptologists and national security experts have been warning against weakening encryption. Doing so would hurt only the well-meaning and law-abiding citizens who rely on companies like Apple to protect their data. Criminals and bad actors will still encrypt, using tools that are readily available to them. A dangerous precedent. Rather than asking for legislative action through Congress, the FBI is proposing an unprecedented use of the Audit Act of 1789 to justify an explanation of its authority. The government would have us remove security features and add new capabilities to the operating system, allowing a passcode to be input electronically. This would make it easier to unlock an iPhone by brute force, trying thousands or millions of combinations with the speed of a modern computer. The implication of the government's demands are chilling. If the government can use the All Writs Act to make it easier to unlock your iPhone, it would have the power to reach into anyone's device to capture their data. The government could extend this breach of privacy and demand that Apple build surveillance software to intercept your messages, access your healthcare records or financial data, track your location, or even access your phone's microphone or camera without your knowledge. Opposing this order is not something we take lightly. We feel we must speak up in the face of what we see as an overreach by the U.S. government. We are challenging the FBI's demands with the deepest respect for American democracy and love of our country. We believe it would be in the best interest of everyone to step back and consider the implications. While we believe the FBI's intentions are good, it would be wrong for the government to force us to build a backdoor into our products. And ultimately, we fear that this demand would undermine the very freedoms and liberty our government is meant to protect. Tim Cook. There's been a lot of chatter, discussion, name-calling on the internet in the last few days since this letter was posted. But let me tell you my thoughts and see what you think. And, you know, if you have opposing information or ideas, go to our website, smarttech.tv. We have a place there to engage in discussion. It's our forum. You can also go to our Facebook page and you can leave comments there. So what I said before was this was like going to somebody who had built a house and asking them for the key to the house, which you don't have. And that's what encryption is. What Apple has done over the last few years has improved encryption so much that they, at least this is what they claim, and we kind of have to take their word for it, but they claim they don't have access to the data. The encryption key is stored on the device, and it's sent securely from device to device to allow that information to be unlocked. And so Apple doesn't have that key. The key is created by the device itself when data is put onto the device. So what the government is asking Apple to do is to rewrite the operating system, to actually hire engineers, to pay people to go in and to rewrite the operating system, and then go in to that iPhone, reload the operating system through a backdoor update, like run an update, because Apple can run updates through the air. And so what the FBI is thinking is that this phone is set to auto update. Let's say they think it's set to auto update. I don't know if they know that for sure, because you can turn that on or off on an iPhone. But let's say that it's set to auto update. Apple sends an encrypted key, a special key through its server to the iPhone to say, hey, there's an update. The iPhone updates the software, and in updating the software, the iPhone removes the safety keys on the phone so that it basically unlocks the phone and lets the data be available. What Apple is saying is that if such a hack was possible to be created and was created, that it would inevitably fall into the wrong hands, and inevitably any government, any hacker who wanted to get into your iPhone would be able to do so. And so they're saying they don't want to create this. Now, what's interesting to me is the government has every right to create this themselves if they want to. They can hire the engineers, have the lab, and they've got a pretty sophisticated lab, I would think, especially at the FBI, if you go to Quantico, and they could create an alternative operating system and try to extract the data that way. In fact, that's normally what they would do on most phones. What this shows me is that the encryption schema that Apple has created is so effective that Quantico can't even create something to hack it or to open it up, that you have to have that passcode for the phone to be able to do that. One interesting twist is that Apple is claiming now that the government actually updated the phone software to a more secure version in trying to decrypt it, and that they made it worse than before. The other ironic thing is that, and what I hear on the internet a lot is Apple has done this over 70 times already for the government, has unlocked a phone so that the government could get data. What they don't mention in this argument is that the encryption methodology from Apple changed significantly in the last few OS updates, whereas Apple could conceivably go into a phone and bypass a security system. They have actually created a system now in its newer OSs that makes it impossible for Apple to do that. And I'm sure Apple did this on purpose. They don't want to be in the law enforcement business of having to, every time the government wants to get into a phone, you know, building a whole division of Apple. Hey, we're the division of Apple that, you know, cracks iPhone security and downloads data for you. So what they've done is they've created a system that is so secure that it automatically creates encryption keys, and they have no access to those encryption keys. Think of it a little bit like, although it's not exactly the same thing, but think of it like when you forget your password on a secure site like a bank, and you call up the bank and you go, I need my password. And they say, look, we can't give you a password. We don't have access to your passwords. They are secure, but you can reset your password, and here's how you reset your password. It's the same type of thing. Apple doesn't, at least by their claim, have access to those passwords to get into the phone. And what the government wants them to do is to use their resources, their money, their engineers to weaken their system and to create a back door that only the government could use, you know, when it needed to. So I'm going to get political here for a moment, and I don't really do that on smart tech very much. But let me give you a philosophical argument, because I hear this all the time about people bemoaning large corporations like Google, like Apple, that have a lot of power, and they do have a lot of power. They control, between Google and Apple, pretty much all of our data is, at least personal data, is controlled, right? Apple has, as a corporation, made it their philosophy that they will not mine customer data. They don't see the customer data. The data is encrypted when it comes through their servers. It is encrypted when it leaves their servers, and the only way to unencrypt it is when it hits a device that has a proper password. That's it. Google, on the other hand, does mine data. If you use Gmail for your email, Google scans every single piece of email that comes through, and they pull keywords and key ideas so they can sell advertising space to people and say, look, a lot of people are talking about, I'm making something up, Honda Civics. Maybe Honda wants to advertise to this group of people because they tend to talk about Honda Civics. Google doesn't go in and say, you know, Chuck talked about Honda Civics, but they'll say that, you know, male, a certain age, certain demographics did, because they'll scan this data and they'll aggregate the data, and then they'll take this info, this general info, and go to an advertiser and try to sell advertising space. That's what they do. They're very upfront about it. So you've got these corporations. What makes me nervous is the government holding this power and having no accountability. Corporations are accountable to the government. They are. I mean, that doesn't mean that they break this accountability and they do things they shouldn't do. But the government, being the policing agency, has a right then to go after the corporation or after the business or after the individual who uses their power and privilege to take advantage or steal or cheat people. And so having the government separate from that is important. Now, what happens when the government takes over everything? When the government is in charge of all of our energy, which they are, when the government is in charge of our health care, and they have all that private health care information and all the information on how to care for us, when they control the food supply, when they control everything, and they're also, they have unlimited power as far as a military. What happens when someone corrupt gets in and has access to that power? The founding fathers in the United States had the right idea. They said, instead of having, you know, a king or a president that has all power, we're going to divest power in the government to three branches: the legislative, the executive, and the judicial. And each of them is going to check on each other. There's a balance of power. And this balance within the government will hopefully help the government to police itself. But when the government becomes the power that can look at anything, and we give them a tool like they want Apple to create, where they can drill down into our device and get any information that they want at any time they want to, we create a dangerous precedent. So what do we do? Well, I think it's important that the government and Quantico access that data. It is important, but they need to figure out how to do it without having a private company put the data of millions of Americans and millions of people around the world at risk. They really do. And we need to figure out, as a country, this has been the discussion, especially since 9/11, how we balance personal privacy with national security. And we've drawn some lines in the sand. We've said, yes, you can, to walk on an airplane, you can be scanned and seen in all of your nakedness on a screen by a screener. We've said, we think that's okay because, we don't want the plane to blow up. Okay. But I think Tim Cook is absolutely right in that he said we need to have this discussion. It needs to be a public discussion. I personally don't want the government to be able to access information that I deem very, very private. And they better have a good reason for doing it, and they better have a way that isn't going to interfere with the rights of many, many people. So let me say one more thing. Let me give a final wrap to this. If the government needs to get into a piece of private property, a phone is private property, a building's private property, they have to get a warrant, which they've done. They've gone to Apple and they said, give us all the information pertinent that you have pertinent to this phone. Apple has done that. And they say, well, that's not the information that we want. This is we want specific information. And Apple says, that's on the phone. We don't own the phone. In fact, what's interesting is the government owns the phone. That was a government or a work issued phone. But because the government didn't have proper setup and controls on the phones that they issued, they had no back door. The health department there that that employed this man should have had some kind of policy in place where they could access the phone. They did not. And so because they fell down on their job, they're going back to this private company and saying, hey, Apple, not only do we want you to create something that isn't, hasn't been created before, that isn't there, we want you to pay for it. We want you to do it. And of course, there is something in the law that Apple could get remuneration for what they're doing. But I can't imagine that it's going to be the cost that's going to cost Apple to do this. They're going to have to take their resources, their time, their brightest and best engineers, and take them off of what they're working on and put them onto something that the government should be doing themselves. And Apple is very afraid. I mean, you, all of you who are science fiction fans have seen this in multiple science fiction stories where the super virus is created or whatever, and it escapes, and then you have to send the hero after it. And that's what's going to happen here. Once there is a way to get to bypass the Apple security, then someone else will figure it out. And the government is going to keep coming back to them and wanting this to happen. I think the government needs to work within the law to break this security themselves. It's their responsibility. It's not Apple's responsibility. And I frankly, at this point, hope that they can use other methods to secure the data that they think is on the phone. They don't even know if it's on the phone. They don't know what's on the phone. And that they can do it in a way that protects my privacy as well as that balance with national security. A lot of work has been done over the years on encryption, and this is the way that we're going to have to share data in the future. We already do. We do our banking, and almost all of our information is shared securely and electronically. Health records of the same way. In fact, right now, as I record this, we have an issue at one of the local hospitals in the area where cyber terrorists have taken a hold of the information data at this hospital and are holding it ransom and saying, we will destroy this data if you do not pay us a ransom. And so encryption and security is vitally important. And I think it's more important, frankly, in this particular case than this particular phone in this particular case, as horrible as this case is. What do you think? Should we be allowing the government to take private industry, private assets, and to force them to stop what they're doing and to create all new ways, basically work for the government to do what should be the government's job? We need a balance of power. And as the little guy, encryption is our biggest balance of power. We need to protect it. Give me your opinion. Go on our website, www.smarttech.tv, and leave a comment in the comment section. Let's have a robust discussion about this. I could be totally wrong. Somebody convince me. You can also go over to our Facebook page and you can leave a comment there in the comments, and we read those also. And you can follow us on Twitter and Pinterest. All of those links are available on our website, smarttech.tv. Over on the right-hand side are all the ways to communicate with us, and we would love to hear from you. I'd also like to ask you to take a moment and go over to iTunes and rate the show. If you could do one thing to help Smart Tech besides, you know, buying through our Amazon link, which supports us, but one really important thing would be to go to our iTunes page and leave a comment on our iTunes page. Those comments, those ratings go a long way in getting the word out about Smart Tech. So until next time, this is your host, Chuck Minear, hoping that this episode has made you just a little bit smarter about tech.